here, so I will reconvene us in this session. We're going to begin with item number 24, the matter of Mr. John Lindsay, County Commissioner, Linn County. Yes. Yeah, come up. As before, we'll begin with a staff report, and then if you want to say anything, you'll be given the opportunity to and answer questions, and then we'll go into discussion and some resolution of the matter. So, staff, report, please.
Okay. Sarah Burke, Commissioner, this is Jerry Bean presenting the investigative report for item number 22, just case number 18-155 UHW against Linn County Commissioner John Lindsay. John Lindsay is a county commissioner in Linn County, and he is represented in this matter by Kenneth Montoya, and they're both here today. The complaint was filed by William Templeton, who is the son of Mark OMB, and Mr. OMB owns a home in the neighborhood where Commissioner Lindsay also resides. The purpose of the investigation here was to determine whether sufficient evidence exists to show that Commissioner Lindsay violated the use of office and conflict of interest provisions of Oregon Government Ethics Law when he took actions in his official capacity prior to filing a private civil suit that could have prohibited Mr. OMB from growing marijuana in a greenhouse on his property. There are several events, and there's a lot of information in this case, so I'm going to present a little bit of background, and then my discussion of the events will probably be pretty lengthy, so just to give you guys a little fair warning on this one. In terms of the background, this complaint stems from the fact that, again, marijuana is being grown on Mr. OMB's property. Mr. OMB and the complainant in the case claim to be legally growing medical marijuana for personal consumption. Commissioner Lindsay and several other neighbors in the neighborhood believe that the marijuana is an illegal commercial operation. The complainant, who was William Templeton, is involved in the matter because his father-in-law, the property owner, Mr. OMB, had solicited his assistance in growing the marijuana on the property. So after several months of being involved in county business regarding the operation on the property, which I'll discuss more in just a minute, Commissioner Lindsay, in his private capacity, joined with his wife and eight other individuals who are also neighbors of this property to file a federal lawsuit against the complainant and his father-in-law and several others, alleging that the marijuana-related activities on the property have a detrimental financial impact on the surrounding property owners for several reasons. So now, in terms of the specific events surrounding my recommendations to find violations, all of these happened prior to the filing of the private civil suit. The relevant events began on June 4th when a neighbor became suspicious about what was happening on the property and sent an email complaint to the County Planning and Building Department and also called Commissioner Lindsay's home and spoke with his wife about it. Based on that June 4th phone call to his home, Commissioner Lindsay went on that day on June 4th to the property in his official capacity to investigate. With regard to that visit to the property, the complaint alleged that during Commissioner Lindsay's visit, he met with Mr. Templeton and made several statements, such as what they were doing was illegal and that they picked the wrong neighborhood, and other similar statements. And Commissioner Lindsay has at all times denied making such statements. Prior to the time that this complaint that we're reviewing the investigative report on was filed, Commissioner Lindsay had recounted his visit to that property, his June 4th visit to the property, in two written statements, both of which are exhibits. One being a notice of intent to sue, and another being a June 5th email to county staff. During the Government Ethics Commission's August 10th, 2018 executive session, when the commission met to vote on the preliminary review report in this case, Commissioner Lindsay made several verbal statements indicating that he had not visited the property on June 4th and that he hadn't visited the property since childhood. In a follow-up letter submitted by Commissioner Lindsay during the investigation, he attempted to reconcile those statements that he'd made in the August 10th executive session with those prior written statements that he made about his visit to the property. On June 5th, 2017, the day after visiting the property, Commissioner Lindsay used his county email account to email county planning and building department staff. Commissioner Lindsay's county email account was also CC'd in email correspondence with county planning and building department staff from June 4th through June 27th, 2017. He remained silent in all of these email exchanges except for on June 27th when he sent follow-up emails to the department's director regarding a possible legal issue that he had raised in his original June 5th email to the department. The first and only time Commissioner Lindsay announced any conflict of interest regarding this matter was in an email that he sent to fellow county commissioners and three members of county staff on August 29th, 2017. And he did that once he began to contemplate private litigation. I noted in the investigative report that there was a question as to the adequacy of the announcement itself, but it did occur after all of the events that are relevant that happened in June, and it appeared that he hasn't been involved in any capacity after any official capacity since he made that email announcement on August 29th. This report is in your meeting books with a recommendation to make a finding of three violations of ORS 244120 for failure to announce conflicts of interest prior to taking action in official capacity. For his visit to the property on June 4th and his emails on June 5th and 27th to department staff, as well as one violation of ORS 244040, subsection 1, prohibited use of office for Commissioner Lindsay's official participation in county business that could have led to the operation being shut down. I would normally stop here, but I think I mentioned earlier, and I'll also note that in the complaint also alleged possible violation of ORS 244040, subsection 4, which prohibits public officials from using confidential information for personal gain. It is known that Commissioner Lindsay obtained copies of those medical marijuana cards, which was what was alleged in the complaint, was that he had obtained the medical marijuana cards and used them to harass the patients. He has copies of the cards. There was nothing else to indicate that he had actually used them for personal gain or harass patients, so there wasn't insufficient information to determine a violation of that particular subsection of 0404.
Okay, are there any questions of Investigator Whedon? Going once?
I'll ask one.
Okay.
Haley, are the cards confidential or are they a public record if you request them?
That's a really good question. I would say, Amy and I discussed this at front length, and I would say for the purposes of the Government Ethics Commission's review and determining confidential information being used for personal gain in 244-0404, that they would have been considered confidential. The reason being because, despite the fact that Commissioner Lindsay says that they were public, the Planning and Building Department staff who I spoke with said that they were confidential. And whenever those records were submitted to the commission on request pursuant to this investigation, identifying information was redacted. So, thank you.
Okay. Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Whedon, can you help me connect the dots on the conflicts of interest? I think you said there were three instances where he failed to disclose. Did I hear that right? Can you just walk me through real quick what those three were?
Sure. On June 4th, there was a phone call to his home from a neighbor who was concerned and complaining about possible illegal marijuana operation in the neighborhood. Commissioner Lindsay took the complaint and reported in his official capacity to the property to investigate.
Reported that to somebody, I'm guessing, in the county.
Okay, he physically went to the property and walked around and observed and spoke with him on the property. Identified himself as the county commissioner, handed out his business card, and had other conversation, I think, the subject of which was some dispute. And then on June 5th, he sent an email to county staff, the planning and building department, who would take care of any zoning issues regarding, the greenhouse and... in the June 5th email, he basically reported what he had observed and his version of the events that had happened on that day. He also stated several legal concerns that he had and requested that the staff treat the report as a complaint, basically. He did that from his county, using his county email account. On June 27th, 2017, he had just been CC'd in a string of emails between the neighbor who had initially emailed the planning and building department on June 4th, and it was the same person who called his home on June 4th. So he'd been CC'd in those emails and then didn't respond until June 27th, when that neighbor had asked the planning and building department director a question that was related to one of Commissioner Lindsay's original concerns that he'd raised in his June 5th email. To which he sent two follow-up emails to the planning and building department director on that same topic.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions of Investigator Whedon? Okay, if not, Mr. Lindsay, if you'd like to address the commission, either yourself or through your legal counsel.
If you don't mind, I'm going to address a few things, and then Commissioner Lindsay's going to speak. Just take them in the order of the preliminary findings. The first one was a violation of 244.04.
Excuse me, sir. Before you begin, could you introduce yourself? My apologies for interrupting you. I should have done that in the beginning.
Kenneth Montoya, and let me just say how happy I was not to have to participate in the earlier discussion today. As Mr. O'Day and I have worked this one over a number of times, and thank you. God bless you for your work on that one. It was a nightmare. Addressing 244.04.01, there's two parts to that statute, and arguably the first met, but what's not met is the second part, and that says, except as provided in subsection 2, public official may not use or attempt to use official position or office to obtain a financial gain or avoidance of financial detriment, and then you look a little further, if that gain or detriment would not otherwise be available but for the public official's holding of the office. And that's the key thing here, and that's why there is no violation, is because, as the investigator indicated, there's eight other people not named Lindsay and who don't reside with Commissioner Lindsay who are also suing for the loss of the value of the property, the alleged loss of value of the property, which certainly hasn't been assessed yet. The way that sub is supposed to be applied was called into question or reviewed by the Oregon Supreme Court in a case called Davidson versus Ethics Commission. And that case, Mr. Davidson was a vice president of SAFE, and he heard about, scuttlebutt through the office, that SAFE was buying a fleet of vehicles at a screaming deal. And he asked, hey, can I get in on that? And I said, well, yeah, sure. So we'll do you as an add-on. He did. And when the vehicle came in, SAFE paid for it, but then he wrote the check, and he ended up saving about $1,300, so a heck of a deal. The way this review came out is the Ethics Commission found a violation. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, who said, yes, of course, that is what is meant, that somebody is using their position, and but for use of that position, they either gained or avoided a detriment. Here, you arguably have the first part, you don't have the second, because the avoidance of the financial detriment isn't just because he's a county commissioner, but his neighbors are in fact suing for the very same thing. So that isn't met. The other ones, and just briefly, I found it a little perplexing as to why Commissioner Tucker's statements regarding Commissioner Lindsay's conduct made it into this report. I didn't understand that because I've never understood somebody's demeanor to have any relevance as to whether or not they violated ethics law. And frankly, that was something that Commissioner Lindsay was irritated about because he says, well, that's not true. And whether it's true or not, I don't know what it has anything to do with ethics laws. And I also found it odd that while the commissioners were discussed as to the duties that they have, there was nothing from the county. What I term a job description, if you will, as to what are these folks supposed to be doing. For those of you that work with a public body, you know there's a job description for everything. Well, there, in fact, Linn County has a job description for county commissioners that was established in May of 1989. And I have it here. I apologize. I didn't make copies for everyone, but page 2, number 14 of that, at county commissioner's duties, one of them is to confer with and assist citizens in accessing county services. Receives and investigates problems or complaints brought by constituents. That is his job, is to receive complaints and look into it. Now, Commissioner Lindsay works for a fairly small public body. Some of the far larger, more sophisticated public bodies have people. He looks his constituents in the eyes on a daily basis. He goes to the coffee shop. They know who he is. Candidly, I had to Google him today because I don't know what he looks like. I don't know. His constituents do, and when they come to him, he has to be responsive to them. Now, walking through the very, very broad interpretation of his actions in this instance, it was a bit troubling because as we looked at it, if he had received the email instead of the public body member, instead of the phone call that happened, but had he received a complaint by email from a constituent and done nothing more than forward it without any comment whatsoever, well, then technically he's taken an action that has to do with a property where he could have a potential conflict based on the same analysis that's been done here. That because he's a property owner and he could have a decline in property values, therefore he has violated ethics laws. There was a case that I cited to you folks in the submission, the Carrigal case, Carrigal versus Ethics Commission, and in the findings it focused on would and could, but to be clear, I wasn't talking about Carrigal for would or could, but more for the court's analysis regards to what is being looked at from the public officials. And the court made a notation or a statement here that I want you to focus on. It says, identification of a potential conflict of interest in a particular case requires a determination of that point, not just the announcement of a boundless generalization. The court does not want folks to have to, any single time they could potentially weigh down the line after several different decisions are made, declare a conflict of interest. In this instance, his actions taken precipitated any application for building permits, precipitated any type of waiver requirements to the zoning. All of these things that had to come, that had to either be approved or denied and a subsequent appeal, it's far too removed for him to have to make a decision when he first receives a complaint to, could I potentially, 2 years down the line, after they get a denial from the county, and after they go to LUBA, and after they do this, then could I be asked upon to make a decision or to vote, and could that decision or vote then lead to me possibly realizing a gain or a detriment? It's just far too removed in each of these instances. From the first one, when he took the complaint and he investigated it. Why? It's what he does. It's what he paid to do. And sure, he identified himself, but not in the manner that has been described by the complainant, but in the manner of somebody asking him who he was. And while it was represented in the facts here that he had met Mr. Templeton, he didn't meet with him at the property at that time. He had handed his business card to the individual he met with to ask that, can you have him give me a call? That was the purpose of the handing of the business card, not flying it around. And that is clearly disputed, but that is his version of events. So one of the reasons why holding him accountable or potentially holding him accountable at the place and time we do, based on simple actions as opposed to just a vote or a decision. I'd like to use an example. For those of you that have been around the commission a number of times, you know that I'm from Nissa, Oregon. And population 3,179, just in case you were curious. Farthest eastmost city in the state of Oregon. No, it's not Ontario. If...
Been there.
Have you really? Yeah. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. If Mr. Jeff Bezos, who is the owner of Amazon, realizes that he made a horrible mistake in the placement of one of those headquarters and calls the mayor and calls the city manager for the city in this and says, hey, we want to relocate there. We know the property's dirt cheap. You're not that far from Boise. We're going to move there. If that mayor and that city manager then lay out the red carpet and are talking to them like crazy and working with them all to process, expedite, and work on tax breaks and zoning changes, all that good, happy stuff, I think we can make it real, real clear, even to somebody as dirt simple as me, that's going to raise the property values in lovely Nissa simply by virtue of putting that company there. And yet, that's the same, it's analogous to what's being represented here, that because they take any action without declaring a potential conflict of interest each and every time, that would require them darn near answering the phone. Good morning, this is Sam. How may I help you? By the way, if anything you want to talk about has to do with, it's so overly broad and general, it's not going to be able to be dealt with on a regular basis or something simple. The reason for these statutes, the reason they're to be applied, is to hold individuals accountable who are doing something dirty at the time they're doing something dirty and not at a remote time far removed from them.
Thanks for hearing us, Chairman.
Yeah, would it be appropriate? There are some people that I think have questions of your attorney. Should we start with that? And then, Mr. Okay. Lindsay, go ahead. So, Allison Keene is first. Commissioner Keene?
Sure, but I'll let, can we have Haley?
Sure.
Maybe it's a shock there, but sure. The factual inconsistency that I noted during Mr. Munsoy's statement. I just want to clarify that Mr. Munsoy just said that it's Commissioner Lindsay's position that he didn't meet Mr. Templeton at the property.
Never met him.
Okay. So, I guess I just want to point out to you guys that in Commissioner Lindsay's own notice of intent to sue, he does specifically state that he met Mr. Templeton that day at the property.
No, I didn't.
He's only said, so I have a copy if you guys would like me to go print copies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioner Keene.
My question didn't relate to that. It's for Mr. Montoya. I hear what you're saying about the potential conflict and the need to announce and continually announce, and that the courts haven't wanted to set that wide of a net, but I'm, are you saying, because the potential conflict of interest says if it inures to private pecuniary benefit, unless, and then there's the unless clauses, are you saying that as a neighbor, in a neighborhood, he's in a class? Is that...
No, although class is an argument, certainly that we could argue it's going to affect all the neighbors as a class, but that what requires you to make a finding of a class. I'm saying on a broad, more general basis that until there's actually a decision he needs to make, then there really isn't any conflict that could potentially... It's a potential conflict, but it's far steps removed.
But you were saying that, yes, it might meet the first clause, but it doesn't meet the second...
And the second being that he would be the only one who could benefit by his action.
But that's not what the statute says. It says unless it's an interest in a particular business required as a prereq to holding that person's office or any action in the person's official capacity which would affect to the same degree a class or membership on a board of directors. So the only seeming... Unless you're talking about something else that I don't know, it seems that the only exception you could be relying on would be subsection B about the class. And there may be an argument there, but that's not how what I've heard you argue.
So I apologize. So I'm reading 244.040 sub 1. And it doesn't sound like that. Is that the one you read?
No, I'm reading the conflict.
Okay,
one.
You're okay. Reading conflicts. You. I'm far off narrowed in on 040 sub 1. And the last part says, if the gain or avoidance of financial detriment would not otherwise be available but for the public officials holding the official position or office. And that's my point, is the ability to avoid the detriment isn't solely his. And so that's why I use the analogy of the safe individual who he got the discount simply because of his employment with SAFE and his ability to use that. Versus here, where the very lawsuit, the fact is being used as a factual basis to show that he could have a financial detriment he seeks to avoid, is been joined by 8 individuals, not him.
And so what you're saying then is, even if he weren't a public official, he as a neighbor could contact anyone on the commission or anyone who had the opportunity or the duty to investigate and get the same sort of potential benefit.
That's the first part, that he's using that arguably he's using his position to get people on the phone. But the second part is, is he able to recover? Is he the person that's able to avoid? Is he only the person able to avoid or gain based upon that status? And in this instance, it's not the case. In this instance, the neighbors are doing the same thing.
But even if they weren't, isn't the argument that he has this opportunity as a public citizen, and it doesn't... He would have the same opportunity even if he didn't hold this office, because he would then just be calling somebody at the investigator's office and saying, I think there's a pot growing next door. I mean, the fact that other neighbors can do it illustrates that point. But the real argument is that it's his ability to have the alleged pot growing neighbor investigated it's easier because he doesn't have to email somebody, but it is a right of any citizen to report it and have it investigated. Is that...
And any person can, yes, absolutely. In fact, they did, as was illustrated by the recitation of the facts, that before they called him and spoke with his wife, they submitted a complaint. So, yeah, that's absolutely
okay.
The case.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on the speaker list is Commissioner Sosa.
My question was about the class status, so I'm good.
Okay. Next person on the list is Commissioner Sugar.
I'd like to defer to Ms. Whedon so that she can continue answering the question.
Okay.
Previously raised.
Here are the copies, so I'm going to go ahead and pass you around. This is the notice of intent to sue. I had it highlighted on the other copy. Oh, it's actually the first page, last paragraph, second sentence. Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, line 3 and 4 of the last paragraph. Would you all like a copy of that
please
as well?
Please. Thank you.
And I did just briefly want, I actually just wanted to respond really quickly to Mr. Montoya's assertion that 0401 doesn't apply in this situation. It's like, he's right in that the financial, I guess, the financial benefit derived would be any financial benefit derived by a marijuana operation being stopped or prohibited from happening is shared by all of the neighbors. However, Commissioner Lindsay is unique in that he is a public official and he had the opportunity to go to the property in his official capacity and essentially tell the people there that they can't grow weed because it's going to violate the zoning code.
Would that be part of his job if it were a different property? Is that
possibly? I think there was also conflict as to whether he should have just taken the action on his own. Another commissioner said that he shouldn't have just done that on his own. Mm-hmm. That the proper procedure was to forward it to department staff and let them handle it and only get involved personally if he's asked to.
But that's not, that's like a department policy. It's not an ethics issue, right? He may have violated his protocols in his office, but that doesn't mean that it fits under prohibited use of official position for the Ethics Act, right?
But yeah, I do think it does. It's like recommended finding a violation.
Right, but it's not because he violated their internal policies that they should have. At least that's...
No, I don't think so. I'm sorry. I was trying to answer your question because I thought you were asking whether what he did was consistent with their own policies.
No, I'm asking whether it's in the scope... I guess what I'm trying to get at is, as a citizen, we all have the rights that every citizen has. And if it happens that our jobs coincide with something that we are trying to protect one of our rights, we don't lose that right because it benefits us because our job involves the same thing. It may be that what we can't do is do more than what any citizen would do to benefit ourselves. So I'm wondering if it's in his job description to do this, or was he enlarging his right as a citizen by going beyond what the law allows the investigators to do.
So say that any citizen, any neighbor could have gone to the property and asked questions and tried to speak with the owner and could have said the things that were alleged in the complaint, could have told the property owners that the zoning doesn't allow for marijuana to be grown on the property. However, when Commissioner Lindsay did that, he did it after presenting himself as a county commissioner.
No, I agree.
Official capacity.
I agree that.
So
with that.
The force of those statements, I think, have a heavier effect on the property owners than it would if it was just any other neighbor.
No.
He's making those statements with some, with essentially a level of perceived authority. So
I agree with that part. I guess what I'm struggling with is, had a neighbor called his office and said, can you guys go show your card and say, I want to sniff around and see if there's pot here. If somebody in the office could have done that, then I believe he's just doing his job that happened to coincide with his personal interest as a neighbor, but I'm trying to narrow down what was beyond the scope of what any citizen would get if they called and complained and somebody was sent out. Like, could he do the same thing, say the next week someone calls in a different part of town that he has no property interest in and they said, hey, I think there's a grow operation, can you check it out? He would go there with his card and say, I want to check this out.
He could, but he wouldn't have the nexus of the personal financial interest that he does with the grow being in his neighborhood. In this particular situation, I think, I agree, I think if it was another kind of situation where it wasn't occurring in his own neighborhood, where he had a heightened financial interest, that it wouldn't be prohibited use of office. I just think that even if he was acting in his official capacity and doing that, even if a call had first come in to the county and then he was directed to do it rather than the call coming into his house, that it, for me, like, it came down to the fact that he did do it in his official capacity. He did make statements telling the people there that they weren't permitted to grow marijuana because of zoning, and he did have a personal financial interest that's higher than it would be if it had just been somebody else.
May I respond to
King?
I'm sorry, can I also say that with Davidson on that 040 point, the holding, so specifically like the holding in Davidson, the respondent in that case was appealing it. It was appealing the case because he was saying that he didn't intend to violate 040, that he didn't have any level of culpability of trying to use his position. And the court responded by saying, essentially, like, use in the provision means you simply have to avail yourself of an opportunity that is financially, that would financially benefit you. So I guess I was also based my reasonings on Davidson as well, and I was considering that whenever I made my recommendation. Okay, thank you.
Executive Director Burson.
So I had a question for you, Haley, in the investigation. So that initial visit to the house, because we seem to be talking about what a neighbor could do compared to it. But wasn't it more than just front door? Wasn't there on the property, touring the property at the greenhouse, things like that? And so, that a normal neighbor might come up to your front door and say,
the neighbor could call the office and say, investigate.
All right, mm-hmm. I'm good. But, yeah, it was more than just knocking on the front door.
Okay, now Mr. Lindsay wants to say something, but does anybody else have questions? Commissioner
Scherer. I have a question for Ms. Whedon. Mm-hmm. So, based on the sentence that you highlighted for us in the last paragraph on page one of the notice of intent to sue, is it your analysis that the statement that Mr. Lucy made to the commission during executive session was inconsistent with that sentence?
Yeah, he just told you before I went in front of this office that he had never met Mr. Templeton before.
Okay. And
that's what the sentence, the sentence says. Grammatical teaching when I went to school, I'm sorry, I went to a one-room schoolroom. You put a comma there, it means you're talking about the subject. He was an employee of Mr. Templeton's. That's
Templeton
not a period.
Is not the owner of the property.
I would find that out later.
Of the property. So to me, that read, and I'm sorry, Commissioner Lindsay knows that Mr. OMB is the owner of the property. So it says an employee of the owner being Mr. OMB.
So that's not what the sentence reads.
That's not what the sentence reads.
And you have held out that he was inconsistent.
Right. I had no idea who owned the property. I was informed that a Mr. Templeton owned the property. I handed him my card and said, can you have the owner of the property contact me?
And that sentence
is
consistent.
So if I could
just
finish my question.
Yeah. Commissioner Sugar?
Well, if I could just finish my question for Ms. Whedon. In executive session, though, Mr. Lindsay asserted that he had not personally gone to the property?
Yeah, I believe that several statements were made that indicated that he had never been to the property. So.
Okay. And then in this document, it makes it very clear that he had been to the property, whether it was Mr. Templeton or Mr. Owenby,
right,
that he made contact with.
Right.
So there's a direct factual conflict between his statements to the commission and what's in this document.
I believe so, yes. I said in his response to the commission, and I believe right now he's attempting to reconcile those statements mm-hmm. with those prior written statements. But it was my understanding, based on my re-listening to the executive session, that he was saying that he wasn't there.
Thank you. And do we know the date? I mean, I've reviewed this notice of intent to sue. It appears to have been written sometime in before the date that requests response to it, which is September 2017. Was this dated, or do we know the date?
It wasn't dated.
Okay.
I assumed that it happened sometime between, like, August 29th and or August, because that was the time that he had sent the email to his fellow commissioners and staff indicating his the possibility that he might pursue litigation.
And this document is not signed, but it says, please reply to Joan Lindsay.
Right.
Do you know how it was issued? Was it mailed or emailed? Was it an attachment?
I don't know.
Who did you receive it from?
I received it from the complainant.
Okay. Was it delivered to the county?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions right now. I might have more later.
Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Whedon, do you know, has the county as a body adjudicated whether or not this was a proper use within that zone?
The county commission as a body did not. The planning and building department, like a complaint was triggered and it was investigated by planning and building department. I noted in my investigative report that review of the complaint was closed, I believe, and around the last day of June, like June 29th, sometime between June 29th and I believe July 11th, the planning and building department director sent an email to the property owner in the case, basically saying that the matter had closed. I spoke with the planning and building director personally during the investigation. He also told me that the matter had been reviewed and closed.
Closed as in there was no enforcement action taken if this use was violating the local zoning laws?
So,
is that a reasonable inference?
Kind of. I'd like to explain it, I guess, a little bit more. So, whenever they were initially building the greenhouse, Mr. OMB or Mr. Templeton, the people involved with the property, indicated that they were going to be growing medical marijuana for four cardholders, OMMP patient cardholders. However, only two cardholders were going to be living on the property, and the other two weren't going to be living on the property. This is according to the record, like the county's complaint record on this matter. So in December of 2016, so this is all happening in June 2017, in December of 2016, around the same time that Mr. OMB purchased the property, Linn County passed passed an ordinance restricting medical marijuana growing to only the licensed cardholders living on the property. So the county, knowing that they were intending to grow for four people, requested that they provide proof that they were, assurance that they were only going to be growing for two. There was very little information in the complaint file, but there was correspondence from the director of the department just asking for the property owners to document what they were doing in writing. They did that. He followed up with an email saying, okay, great, like, it's closed.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
just a quick follow-up. Thank you. So with that, was it reasonable for Commissioner Lindsay to think that there was a land use violation here? I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Was there a reasonable basis for him to...
Yeah, sure. I believe so. Yeah. That said, though, I think conflicts of interest and prohibited uses of office can arise over the course of people carrying out their official duties, and I think that they regularly do.
Sure.
So, that said, yeah, I think there's probably a valid concern.
Okay. Commissioner Keene?
One more question. I think the reason that I was getting that I mistakenly thought we were looking at the conflicts of interest section, and maybe Commissioner Sosa as well, and that's why we got into the class discussion, is that the prohibited use of office doesn't have anything to do with announcing or disclosing your interest. So I'm trying, what am I missing? Why is disclosure relevant here?
Disclosure is relevant to the extent that I am also recommending 3 violations of conflict
of the
interest.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And one of those is for showing up here.
Right.
Okay.
And the other two are for emails sent on June 5th and June 27th. He didn't announce any conflicts of interest or recognize any possible conflicts of interest until August 29th.
And so then I guess my class question stands. Are you asserting, Mr. Montoya, that the reason the conflict of interest, potential conflict of interest is not violated is because he's a member of a class?
Well, he's a member of the county. He lives in the county. So any individual in the county could avail themselves in the same way and be treated in the same fashion for purposes of declaring a potential conflict of interest. Because anything you put in a public body that could adversely affect property values is going to be felt throughout the community. So, yes, he's no different than any of his neighbors insofar as the effect it could potentially have.
But the example you gave before about Jeff Bezos moving in, that would change everybody's property values.
Right.
Here, you're not alleging that, are you?
I use the Bezos example in dealing with the first violation. The first violation is that but for, and so with that, but for his actions or his status, he wouldn't receive a benefit. For purposes of everybody's going to benefit, yeah, absolutely. If Bezos moves in, they're all going to benefit.
Right, but in this case, we're talking about prohibited use of office is the but-for. Whether everybody benefits is, to me, whether it's a class or not. And although in the Bezos case, everyone in the town may be a class, I don't think you're arguing that everyone in the town here is a class. You're saying everyone in this neighborhood is a class?
In the general area that's going to be affected by all the smell, all the traffic, all the increased crime that they assert in their federal lawsuit. Yes.
And is that something that we've analyzed, whether this qualifies as a class?
The class exception wouldn't appear to apply in that situation, so I didn't bother to analyze whether it would apply. So the class exception wouldn't apply because for the purposes of the class exception applying in conflicts of interest, in order for a class exception to apply, every member of a class would have to be affected by the same degree, or to the same degree.
And that would be the 8 other people listed as plaintiffs in the lawsuit who have all signed on and asserted the identical claim.
So by the nature of the fact that the distance between property, the amount of space that you're sharing, property line, possibly I was thinking even like depending on which way the wind is blowing, if you're getting the smell on your property on a particular day, it's going to affect your property value more or less.
I guess that turns me to our attorney. I know that in the past we've given advice that members of a city council who rent out their homes for Airbnb would benefit.
Were not members of a class.
They were not members
right.
of a class.
Yes.
And is it because they had different values, or is it because it wasn't a tight enough class?
Because it would be affecting them to the same degree. I mean, to different degrees, but they weren't able to say that it would affect them all to the same degree.
Hmm.
I think the commission ought to be really careful here in having a class of 8 neighbors.
That's what I'm asking. I don't know that we've
I think that,
that
it
before.
Is in your discretion to determine a class. If you decide that a class consists of 8 neighbors, that really severely diminishes what a potential conflict of interest is. Conflict of interest is really to make sure that you are a parent or absenting yourself from a decision or action or recommendation that your public duties to everyone is influenced by your personal pecuniary benefit. And I don't think eight neighbors trying to protect the eight neighbors that are right next to this neighborhood is tantamount to protecting class that you have no personal interest separate from.
Okay. That's really what I'm asking, is how broad have we gone before in defining a class?
Mr. Burson would know the answer to that much better than I would.
Well, I think we're looking at how narrow it is.
Or how narrow, yeah.
It's always been kind of a tough subject because it's been around, you know, putting right-of-ways in or changing zoning inside of, say, city limits or urban growth boundaries that come out. You're going to start moving the city line out a little further, and how are those properties going to be affected? And the commission in the past has been very careful to say, like, you know, I own 5 acres in there, you own 2 acres, are we really affected the same way?
Mm-hmm.
And they have been reluctant to say those type of things. So that's why I think when our analysis in this case, we didn't go that direction with working with the Department of Justice, is because of that. There's just varying degrees here of effect on the property.
But Mr. Lindsay could have said, I'm sorry, I'm butting in with a question here, but Mr. Lindsay could have said, you know what, I'm a member of this group, but I am going to be impacted by this, so I need to pass this off to somebody else. And other communities, we've run into situations like that where we had people that would write a check to a vendor, but the vendor had somebody working for them that was a family member, and so they said, well, I can't sign this check. I need to have another person assume that duty.
Well, to answer that question, I don't know if you're asking me the question.
I think
I think that Mr. Lindsay did do that.
Yeah.
I think he did it in August when he said, I'm going to have a legal battle. And he did it like one time. He'd have to do it each time. But he said there was a legal battle, and I think our evidence pointed out that he has stopped participating. There's been no more action since then. Mm-hmm. So I think he did recognize that he had a conflict at one point, but it was up in August, not back when these other incidents happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to kind of declare that by saying, look, I have this suit going on. Don't involve me in this. And he's tried to not involve himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was a recognition on his part that he needed to declare a conflict. Like I said, I don't know if the declaration is sufficient, but that's not what we were looking at right here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would like to point out that I don't think the declaration was sufficient, because all he says is, I have this lawsuit coming up, and legal staff will not advise me. It is my lawsuit, not the county's lawsuit. And so legal staff is what it says, will not advise me about this lawsuit. It doesn't say nobody talk to me. I have to be, you know, shielded from anything about this. It talks about the lawsuit. And I also, at one point, he said that at his that letter, I have had a problem with a neighbor violating land use. This is a very small group of neighbors who are particularly worried about this property, and not the county as a whole or a jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. I think Mr. Lindsay's been very patient.
I just have one quick question
from
Ms. Whedon. So in regard to, you said the three conflicts of interest, the one on June 4th when he goes to the property, the one on June 5th with an email, and the one on June 27th with a series of emails. On June 4th, when he's met with a potential conflict of interest, how would he have announced that?
The law just says, the law 120, sorry, ORS 244-120 states that whenever a public official holding an elected position, such as the county commissioner, is confronted with a potential conflict of interest, that they would announce before taking action. So he should have, in that situation, he probably should have handed it off to someone else. And not taken any action, or not taken any action until he had an opportunity to make some kind of a public announcement. That's the requirement. So however he wanted to accomplish that, as long as that would be accomplished, I think the statutory requirement would be met. Mr. Montoya suggested that by forwarding the matter to someone else or prompting staff to deal with it instead of doing it himself, that he would have been met with a potential conflict of interest in that situation. However, I can't. I think I would disagree. I don't think that forwarding it to staff would be a potential conflict. Involving yourself directly, taking action directly in a matter in which you have a financial interest is a conflict.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Mr. Lindsay, would you like to address the board? I'm sorry, Commissioner Lindsay.
Yes, I'd like to, but first I want to just respond to a couple of the things that have been said here, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman. The first thing is that I'm under the impression that, and I don't mean to upset anybody, I'm under the impression that a lot of people didn't read the federal complaint, because a lot of these answers were answered in that federal complaint on what is transpiring in federal court, and that is the fact that there is more than just the names on that suit. This case is actually some of the neighbors that didn't want to disclose their names because of the demeanor of some of the employees of the marijuana operation. They were scared, is the bottom line. Another thing is I didn't tell anybody you can't grow weed in a rural residential area. That's a little strange because six doors over, we have a neighbor with a medical marijuana card who maintains a couple plants for himself in the SE. And I believe we have another one, too. We just don't have people growing 150 plants. I mean, that's in building large commercial greenhouses and running commercial operations with 15 employees, evidently, to provide medical marijuana for two residences that do not actually live there, because Salvia and Brown are the ones that actually live on the property, and we know that. If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, there are basically five issues that I would like to just explain to the board. And one of them I'd like to start with is why not just stay current, and I'll deal with an issue that just happened Tuesday. Because really what county commissioners deal with conflict of interest is a great example on Tuesday, is that we had a land use issue appear before the board. Chairman of the board, Roger Nyquist, owns property and is actually a neighbor. So immediately slide the gavel over to my chair. I'm leaving the meeting, folks. This sometime down the road, someone could claim that there was some sort of potential conflict of interest. We'll leave here. That's very typical for us to do. Unfortunately, when we're making our declarations, because of how I read a lot of things going on here, I'm becoming more nervous, and I'll delve into this a little bit later. My declaration was I have interacted with at least 15,000 people in Linn County. I have been active among many business members. I have a real problem. I have a brother who runs the IBW. Now, if that land use action resulted in the construction of a project, can I hear this anymore? Is that a potential conflict? That somehow remotely someone who I may have interacted sometime in the previous 5 years or would be known as a friend or something, somehow I have a conflict of interest. And that's a really nerve-wracking thing that I've been thinking about. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never heard of this tight a definition on there. In the particular case here, of course I would have declared a conflict of interest any time Mr. Owenby or Page submitted a planning action. The only problem is they're in violation of land use anyway, and Oregon land use law says you're not going to get an approval for what you're doing. So if that did come before the board, no, I would get up, leave the room. I wouldn't even hear the thing. I have a definite conflict of interest or a potential conflict of interest in that case. I've done it many times over the years. But I'd like to give a couple examples here because there's an inferred anything that could increase the value of your home, no matter how remote, is suddenly a potential conflict of interest with an elected official. Now, when I was elected to office, to turn around an economy in my county that had lingered for 20 years. And I became very aggressive on that. So along the line, I jumped in my car and I popped up to Washington State a few times to talk to some executives, and I know that another commissioner did, and I know that members of the governor's office did. And we talked a company called Lowe's into not building a distribution center in Camp Washington and instead put it in Lebanon, Oregon. We knew all the time what was going on. And the day we broke ground on that, and Governor Kulongowski came in, and we managed to share $100,000 of county money and another $100,000 of other money there to create new and better jobs everybody took a victory lap. Suddenly, my home property values, guess what, just went up because the economy starts turning on a dime. If we skip forward to past a few other projects we're involved in, I read an application for a veteran's home to be built somewhere in Oregon. I pulled out the application because we had recently recruited a medical hospital, a medical school, to move to Lebanon, Oregon. Perfect place for them because of a teaching hospital. And they constructed there. And so we go, well, hold on, a veteran's home will fit right in like this, a national veteran's home. We went out and worked our tails off. And the thing is that there's kind of a catch here that I've been thinking about lately. And that is that we promoted, part of that promotion was we had to go out and address our citizens and say, this is in the best economic interest of our county as a whole. It is in a significant financial interest to the rest of us. And that the Board of Commissioners will guarantee a bond, and we will go back out before the voters, and we will guarantee a rate of return for you people with jobs and more economic growth, which we did. Now, the problem becomes, guess what? Everybody's home values go up. If we're doing this remotely, does that suddenly become does economic development become a conflict of interest? When I would have Phil Barnhart send his cryptic email or some of his staffers or Sherry Springer, and they'd say, you have a constituent that has this problem, take care of it. You know, do I not respond to that because of, you know, a couple of those were actually what some people could call in a neighborhood or whatever? No, we do that because I'm elected to serve the citizens to the best of my ability, no matter where they might reside. Another one is that many cities and counties live and die by what's called a law enforcement or a public safety levy. In Linn County, who sets the rate of that levy? The Board of Commissioners do. Who goes out and promotes it? The Board of Commissioners do. So then, when that levy comes through and we convince the voters to approve it, there is a direct financial benefit that comes back to the county and the sheriff's department and all those employees. And conversely, SEIU, Teamsters, or unclassified employees also would have a direct financial benefit. If that takes place, that is the county as a whole would receive some sort of benefit there. And because the crime rate is low, because we hire prosecutors out of this, instead of high, what does that do to home values? Well, the home values of everybody there, those increases. So if you're doing your job as a public official, of course home values are going to increase somewhat. As long as it's a healthy, vibrant a community, you can have that. But if it's a community where I'm a failure at my job, you'll see home values plummet and businesses leave. You'll see, you know, economic circumstances that you may not want to be with. But what I find more disturbing about this remote possibility is on three different occasions, we've had cities collapse where by default statute, the Linn County Board of Commissioners became the city council overnight because that's what the statute says. We have to assume the role as the city and try and put it back together again, which we successfully did, thank goodness, and try and get people to volunteer to serve on a city council. Because it is very difficult to be on a city council in a small community. You don't have access to, like we said, like a Portland city council or a Salem. So cities are elected by wards. And if we're going to talk about a neighborhood, how you would define, I guess you guys were calling a class, I have Sile in my jurisdiction, for example. That's a very tiny city, and yes, they don't elect people by large. They're elected by what's called a ward. Do you know how big those wards are? It's a couple hundred people. You know your neighbors. So are your neighbors allowed to contact you with problems? And zoning could be zoning issues. We deal a lot with dogs, different things. It's quite an interesting job when you do that, when you're dealing with rural areas. Yeah, there's a lot of problems that take place. So my role is when I have constituents that get a hold of me and they want action, you got to try and take action. Now, is the role of how that's done is a little, I don't understand. If we're going to say that we can no longer talk to those citizens because of a potential conflict, then we're going to have some severe problems coming down the road. This really makes me nervous about AOC and LOC, the League of Oregon Cities and Association of Oregon Counties. If the county commissioners lose that role and the city council members start to lose that role, not helping constituents or involving themselves in community disputes, where is that going to take us at that role? Because I brought in here just something because, and I can't share this with the board because of some of the issues that are in here, but this is a planning complaint case file that I've been working on here for nearly a year and a half. We're getting finally to closure on it. This one gets real complex because you're talking about people that actually are squatting on an elderly woman's property. And we have to, it gets very complex. Is there trespassing? Is there not? Is there drug related to this? And we're finally getting to a point where I can now take a civil deputy and we can start going through the eviction process. In a rural community, we don't go in there and go after the landowner. The landowner basically has been taken over, you know, and we can't, it's a very odd situation. And what makes that work is having an elected official that can sit down with law enforcement, can sit down with DEQ, can sit down with other people that might be involved in this and try and put together how do we solve this without spending a lengthy time in court. You know, and so then does that become, again, conflict of interest? Right now, Linn County, it's no secret, we have a couple of major lawsuits against the Department of Justice. And we're continuing to go down that legal path. In one of those cases, if we succeed, it will have a very large economic impact on not only Linn County, but other people that would, in essence, in turn, increase the value of homes, increase the value of property, because it would change the economic dynamic of the region. And so was to how we file that lawsuit on the behalf of our citizens if there is a perceived economic interest. It's part of the job description that we have. So in the case of this, coming back to this, when I receive a call from a constituent, I usually reply to it. The reason I generate a letter back to the staff is because it starts a chain of events in which you can be aware of what is taking place in case you're ever contacted by those constituents again. And without that, we lose our tools. I will point out the reason why this land use one that I brought in here, this is literally a couple miles from my house. The reason I'm taking care of this is because the families involved here would refuse to talk to another county commissioner. They want me to handle it. People have preferences. Some people, when they deal with the legislature, they won't talk to their local legislator. They might approach one in a neighboring district. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. People have preferences. And I really worry about whether or not we're going to have to sit here at the beginning of every week or the beginning of every year, and I have to make some sort of disclosure that potentially, you know, all the people on this list might be a potential conflict because I may help them out in an economic development issue or a criminal issue that could result down the road in something like that. That was never my intention when the problem here started. And that was that we had a land use violation. Why did we know that there was going to be a land use violation? Because one of the neighbors told me that the employees, Sylvia and Brown, came down and said, we're going to be farm managers for another individual who's going to run a farm here. Well, that's pretty overwhelmingly a statement like that. I just wanted to make sure we didn't do it. Because generally when someone starts an illegal construction on a piece of property, I have found in my experience, if you approach that individual and you tell them that this is going to be a land use violation, and unless you go through the proper channels, you save a whole lot of county money, you save a whole lot of heartache for a lot of people to understand that you weren't supposed to do it in the first place. And in fact, in the cases of these particular grows at the time, I can tell you, I had a map from Linn County in which if someone wanted to do this, we would show them the zoning map and say, these are the regions that you can go ahead and do this at this point. The state of Oregon had not determined that marijuana was an agricultural product by that date. When that did it, it relieved some of the other zoning issues. But we had these zoning restrictions that we had to deal with. So we've had a release valve come back out of that, and it's worked really well. At the heart of this complaint, again, comes back that somehow this was a personal use operation that was strictly for two individuals living on the property. There were two individuals that owned the property, but they never lived there. They live in Albany. And what is the question about whether or not it was a commercial production, all parties in that case are represented by a law firm out of Portland and they have a lawyer that is represented by the last name of Tinker. And this here is a news release statement that he made that was printed in numerous publications. This one here is actually the Marijuana Business Daily. And his statement was, the Oregon lawsuit filed in December 2017 centered on a medical marijuana greenhouse built in Lebanon in 2017 and operated by Mark Owenby and Michelle Page and other family members. The family has since decided to get out of the cannabis business. I don't think that was a personal use thing. And having a large number of employees and buyers and things and the traffic that was associated, I don't see that on my other neighbor that actually has a medical marijuana card. Matter of fact, there is no traffic. You know, so what I as I said before, this whole complaint, I think, is an abuse of using the commission to try and extract something on a legal issue that was decided among in a civil setting, and that they could come after me because I hold a public office. As I wrote in the declaration, I was going to have nothing to do with this anymore.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. We have a speaker list of Executive Director Burson, Investigator Whedon, Commissioner Sosa, Commissioner O'Day.
I'll just be real quick, because you actually have a really good attorney to help you with this, and so I hope that Mr. Montoya informs you after this meeting anyway that potential conflicts of interest do not stop public officials from continuing with their work. It just simply requires a declaration, and then you can continue on with that work. So nothing in the potential conflict of interest statutes would actually prevent you from moving forward with anything that would be before your commission. So I just want to make sure that you know that this commission, whatever is decided today, is not deciding that potential conflicts of interest require you to quit working on that subject. So,
okay. Investigator Whedon?
Actually, I was going to say exactly the same thing and only add that with regard to some of the examples that Commissioner Lindsay just provided, some of the examples that might constitute conflicts of interest for an entire governing body, I just wanted to remind you all that sometimes that really does happen, and that the statute actually provides a specific emergency valve for whenever situations like that do happen, allowing all the members of the governing body to take action despite their conflicts for the efficiency of government business. So I guess just to echo what you were saying, conflicts of interest don't effectively prohibit the governing body from being effective or taking action.
Okay. Commissioner Sosa.
Commissioner Lindsay, I'll take this in two different segments here. In regard to conflict of interest, the question is whether or not there was some sort of pecuniary advantage or detriment to you, and if so, whether you had a duty to declare that. So in one of the questions that was asked of you, and this is on our page 238, and this was in the letter that your attorney provided to us, where the investigator had provided questions, you provided written answers. Question number 7, it asks you pretty plainly, are you aware of whether you have any actual or potential personal financial interest in the matter of whether illegal marijuana is being grown at the property in question? If so, please explain specifically what the personal financial interest is. And you respond, as I explained to the commission, my primary focus for me personally was the intimidation and harassment that I experienced from the complainant. This includes death threats and other harassing and retaliatory behavior, such as the filing of this complaint. With all due respect, sir, I don't think that answers the question. Do you, as you sit here today, feel that you had or have a personal financial interest in whether or not this cooperation continues?
Commissioner, our pages don't match with yours, yeah. So we've been scrambling trying to find
this
where you're at.
Page 4 of the okay. report.
Yeah, question 7.
All right. Yes. That would be correct. You have to remember when suits are filed, because I went back and there was a federal suit. But, at the time, you were talking about the time? No, I never perceived anything like that. I deal with this stuff all the time.
And that's something I should have touched on, is that
many times in litigating cases, you have clients who come in and say, I want to sue them for this, and I know I got them here, and I know I got them there, and you nod and smile, and then, yeah, I have, those are great, but you do have something over here. And similarly here, he was processing, how do we deal with this, both professionally and personally. So at the time he took these actions, June 4 was the date he got the complaint. So he most certainly had no idea that somehow down the line, he didn't even know if there was, in fact, an illegal commercial grow, which was illegal. So he had no idea at the time he walked out there what was going on. So there's no way he had the, if we want to add an intent element, which isn't there, but for all intents and purposes, he didn't even fathom that was part of it. And similarly, as you walk through, he wasn't working under the assumption this is going to affect my property values. It was, this is in violation of the law, which is what he was investigating and working through. As it went on, certainly he met with counsel and developed the notice to sue, and in fact, subsequently sued. But that wasn't back in June.
Go ahead.
Not county counsel. Let's just make
that clear. No, his personal attorney. Yes.
Sure, yeah. And so, I mean, because I think when people hear that, oh, hey, these folks are potentially growing illegal drugs in your neighborhood, one of the thoughts that undoubtedly might go through your mind is, obviously, it's a violation. It's against the law. But one of the other things is, ooh, that's a crime, and that's, if there's crime going on in my neighborhood, that's going to be a problem for the values of the homes. I mean, and that's acknowledged in later on in your notice to sue and so forth. So I just wondered if that was something that had occurred to you at the time.
No, okay. No. I can say that. I think where my mind started to change, and that's what I believe I vaguely sat there, was as a commissioner, you sit here and you listen to what's going on. We had known that, as you read the case record, I don't know if the commission has the complaint record, even what's documented there, is the ongoing lie about this was personal use. And, of course, I'm a county commissioner. And we usually don't go for warrants and stuff until at least a year after a case is opened. That's just standard procedure. Otherwise, we like to give people a chance to correct their mistake. We're not a police force. But there was interaction between the operation and citizens that lived there that was a bit different. And it was not like some of this was about concerns for safety of children and neighbors.
Now, my second question goes toward the use of office. Now, there's obviously some very, very different versions of what happened when you went to the property back on June 4th, right? They say that you showed up, you were angry, you were, you know, flailing your card at them and saying, I'm a county commissioner, and that's how the conversation began, and telling them you're running an illegal operation here, not going to stand for it, and so on and so on. However, in your version, I'm a bit confused because I think there are some contradictions in at least the transcript from your testimony when you were before us last time and what you provided in this in response to these written questions. So if I understand, in this is directly above that question 7, this is A and then 1 there, they asked, did you identify yourself as a commissioner at the time? And you said, I identified myself as a Linn County commissioner and explained that I was there as I had received information that a commercial marijuana grow facility was being built on the property. I told the man that I met with that I hoped the complaint I received about a commercial marijuana grow wasn't true, as the zoning for the area does not allow for this type of facility. When the gentleman could not find the owner of the property, I provided him with my business card and said that I would like to speak with the owner of the property. So that's consistent with what I think you said
today. That's pretty much what happened.
So, okay, and if you look back in page 199, it's going to be your page 13 of the investigative report. If you go to the bottom there, it begins with me asking you the last time you were here. There was an allegation that one day in the spring of 2017, Lindsay came to the property with a hostile tone and began a conversation by presenting his county commissioner business card. Did that actually occur? And your response is, Dustin Ferries, I've never been there before. No, I need to correct myself, though. That particular property, I'm a long-time resident of these areas. My best friend grew up actually on that property when I was a child, so yeah, I've been to that property before, but I've never visited that property in years. And I said, so this wasn't you walking up there with your card saying I'm a county commissioner, and you said no, no, no.
Right.
So I'm a bit confused, because at least in this section of the transcript, you're saying that you didn't go there and that you didn't present your card, but yet...
If you read the complaint, the actual complaint that Mr. Templeton has filed in front of this commission, he states that sometime in early spring, I had gone onto that property and talked to him. That is not true. I went there on June 4th, not in the spring. I consider June 4th the summer. Are we okay on that? I mean, that's what I was talking about there. No, I didn't do that. And, you know, as I stand by my statement, yeah, when I did go there, yes, I did identify who I was. Yes, I did give him a card. But I did not ever talk to Mr. Templeton in the spring. I didn't talk to anybody. I hadn't been there.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Sugar. I'm sorry, Commissioner O'Day was next.
Okay, I'll yield.
Please go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
You look like you're happy to wait.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Sheriff, so I have two questions. One's factual, then one's kind of walking me through the statute a little bit.
So the first one factually, Commissioner or Mr. Montoya, the duty description you provided us or read to us, does that apply to all the commissioners, or is that just specific to... Commissioner Lindsay's.
It is the county commissioners, and it is entitled County Commissioner.
So is it safe to say then that any Commissioner Lindsay could have handed this off to either of the other two commissioners to investigate and to run the ground?
It doesn't specify that any one certain one handles this or that. So,
I know some counties are different, right? They create one commissioner who's going to be, you know, in charge of one particular area, another commissioner in charge of another area. I guess my question is: does Linn County do that, or do you all share the same duties equally?
We have two controlling documents. This is the first one. This is actually code. This is codified. The second document is what we call Policy 30, and Policy 30 merely just states that if you're going to do something administratively or you need to do something or interact with a department, that it needs conference from two commissioners to do that policy. The reason we do that is because, let's say we weren't going to meet for a couple weeks, but we need to... hold on. I'll get a better example. It's snowing outside. Someone's got to make a decision to shut down the courthouse and not let employees drive there. That decision has to be made by the conference of two county commissioners. Then when we hold a public meeting on the next time, we will then state on the record that there was a phone call that took place between two county commissioners and made the decision to go ahead and close down the county courthouse. That's policy 30. The 30 and this are the only things we have.
I'm just curious, how do you comply with public meetings law when you have that phone call?
That's why, well, my understanding, my understanding, what we've been told by counsel is you do the call. And then generally, Commissioner Nyquist calls a guy named Alex Paul, who's a newspaper reporter, and tell him that the call took place. And then we would report that in a public meeting the next time we meet. That's a clarification.
That's county council providing that advice.
Right.
I understand this one, Toya. Part parcel of the problem of having a three-member governing body that has both legislative as well as administrative duties, and that kind of gets me into the next set of questions I have about the conflict of interest. So, I'll throw this question open for staff or Ms. Montoya or Commissioner Lindsay. The methods of handling conflicts, I'm having a hard time seeing how this all works and where it fits. So it says that under 244.120, that when an elected official, who's otherwise not a member of the legislature, is met with a potential or actual conflict of interest, that they are to publicly state the nature of the conflict. And then, if it should be an actual conflict, then they would be required to refrain from any discussion or debate or vote on the matter. As I read that, it seems to me that the assumption of the statute is that elected officials, like county commissioners, are only going to engage in decision-making during the course of a public meeting. But as this case illustrates, often county commissioners can have both administrative as well as legislative responsibilities. So had Mr. Lindsay been
a public official other than an elected official, the statute says you notify your supervisor, and then they either say, well, there's nobody else to do this, so you go ahead and take care of it to the best of your ability, or they reassign the matter to somebody else, which is why I was kind of questioning, you know, could this have been handled by another commissioner? So with that, help me understand where the violation occurs under that statutory scheme for an elected official who's not a member of the legislature, who otherwise is performing an administrative duty as delegated to them properly, let's assume, by the governing body.
Do you want to take that one?
Yeah, it is awkwardly written, isn't it? However, I think that, so for a person who has an appointing authority, there's that person to go to. And it doesn't matter whether it's potential or actual, they don't make the distinction. But when you're an elected official, you're answerable to the public, right? So it says you must announce it publicly. And a conflict includes action and recommendations, not just decisions. So there has to be some mechanism. I think this commission has been pretty flexible about how you accomplish that. I know that they strongly encourage you to do it publicly, like, for instance, the Secretary of State. Put out an email. Put it out on your website before you take an action. But I don't think you've been super... the statute does say publicly announced, but it is very awkward to do. In this case, we have an action and no announcement. What could he have done? He could have not acted. He could have sent it to someone else. He could have said, I can't deal with this until I at least alert. You know, there are different ways to do it, but it's an awkward thing, and it says what it says, publicly announced.
And I'd also like to address something Ms. Whedon said earlier about my forwarding example. The statute says any action. So if we're going to go down to the absolute letter of the law, forwarding an email is an action. So the point is that in this commission's review of potential conflicts of interest, the area you described earlier of decisions of votes, that's been typically where this has been found. This is the first one I've ever seen where, and obviously this was a commissioner engaging in a non-legislative function, more an administrative function. This is the first time I've ever seen this one. And so then, if you're going to find that the actions in investigating a complaint apply, where's the line at? Because it hasn't been drawn for their view, which is why he gave you that list of examples. Because in his mind, he's, well, wait a second, where is the line? Is it the actions of meeting with individuals? Is it the actions of investigating a complaint? Which, as my discussion with Commissioner Sosa, he's not even sure what he's got other than an allegation. Or the follow-up? Or at what time does this potential conflict of interest rear its head such that he knows that his actions, now I have to do something. It's very simple in a public meeting where he's taking a vote. The language is any action, so I'm not being flip when I say the forwarding of the email is technically that. And so if you find that investigating a complaint in response to a citizen, this is not him driving by. This is not him taking a walk. This is a response to a constituent. And following up to satisfy the constituency that now all of a sudden he's going to be held accountable because a potential conflict of interest he doesn't even know he has at the time, that being the detriment to his property, because again, there were still steps that needed to be taken insofar as applying for the respective permits. So you wanted to add something, I think?
I think that's what I was trying to say earlier, is that you get to a point where all of a sudden I notice one day I'm having thoughts in my brain that I'm changing my mind on something, and that's what generated making a legal, talking to counsel, making sure that there was some sort of legal declaration that keeps the county and myself separated on this issue. Mind you, it's not a... even though I did give that thing to a newspaper reporter again by the name of Alex Paul, and later on one called Audrey Cairo, that As far as I know, the declaration of potential conflict of interest takes place when something comes before you in your official capacity and you're going to make a decision on something. So there's a little bit of area in there that I'm not quite understanding. If you have a conversation with somebody on something, but you don't think it's ever going to go anywhere, then it wouldn't be going anywhere. But if you have a conversation with someone and you do know that potentially this is going to wind up as something like that, yeah, I firmly agree that's a potential conflict of interest right there.
Commissioner Sugar, are you finished, Commissioner O'Day?
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Commissioner Sugar?
Thank you, Chair. In response to our council's questions and comments related to when and how a declaration of potential conflict of interest could occur publicly, Ms. Alpa, is it too much to ask that the June 5th email to county officials could have indicated in writing that this is my neighbor and that I'm passing this on to you, but I don't want to have anything else to do with it. Please work with a different commissioner. That could have happened on June 5th.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Or even, because it is potential, or even, this is my neighbor. I want you to be aware of that. And
it could be a conflict.
And it could be a conflict. Right.
I'm not sure yet. But in the abundance of caution,
it is my neighbor.
I'd like to make sure that I let you know. Okay, so that's one. The other is the email, follow-up email that we have from Tuesday, June 27th. Again, an opportunity, it seems like ongoing communication with the director of the Planning and Building Department. Another opportunity to share with publicly, at least with the individuals in the county, that there was a potential conflict of interest. Once again, at this point, I don't think it's confusing that this person is a neighbor and that there is concern about a marijuana grow operation, correct?
Right.
Okay. And that goes throughout the month of June, from what I can tell, mm-hmm. those communications.
Yes, I believe the report says there's only four, but there were 18 instances identified.
Yes. According to Mr. Lee's
according
statement.
To Mr.
The only reason I say that is because as I talk to council, is it okay for me to say this? That question came up, and quite frankly, I'm dealing with three other marijuana complaints at that time with planning. And so it would be very difficult to say in the course of conversation did something come up on this one. I have no idea. So it's better to say at least a couple times because I don't know. It was relatively just something that I do every day. I did not know it was going to devolve to the direction it would go. Again, we deal with people.
There are four in the report.
So I'm almost done. Chair Burke, I just would like to, I don't really have a question here. I'd just like to make a statement that I have a notice throughout this record and throughout the statements even today that I just am very uncomfortable with the lack of consistency in Mr. Lindsay's statements throughout this work that we're doing here. And it makes it difficult to assess all the other statements that don't have inconsistencies because I feel concerned about what is actually happening and what isn't in this case. And some of the examples are quoted in the investigator's report, including response, Mr. Lindsay's responses to my questions on page 13 during the executive session, where he actually says on line 22 that he didn't know what they were doing at the address. When the individuals came and confronted him at the counter of the county building, which was quite some time after he'd actually been to the property and confronted them about what they were doing. So I feel that is a misrepresentation to the commission. And so I haven't heard a great deal of additional candor today. So I just want to say that I have discomfort with that here.
Okay.
And I'm ready to move to adopt the recommendation of staff.
Okay, so noted. Commissioner Sugar puts motion on the board to adopt staff recommendation with respect to this agenda item. Is there any further discussion before we go to vote? And the answer is yes. Did you have anything, Ms. Whedon, additionally? Okay. Ms. Keene is next, and then Mr. Sosa.
I wanted to clarify the potential violation of 244.0401, the misuse of official position. What is that act relating to? Is that the first time going to the House?
For me, it was kind of a culmination of the involvement, primarily based on the first visit to the property.
I think what I'm feeling, that what I don't think that I stated very well before, to me, misuse of official position is quite a serious violation if it occurs. Potential conflicts of interest can simply be solved by saying it in an email. It's very easy, which somewhat indicates that maybe not as grave, because if all you have to do is say it and keep going, it's not much of a barrier. But misuse of official position, I think, is quite important, because that's when you're using, you know, your position to get something that you wouldn't otherwise get. And we've found that in cases, or at least it's been presented to us in cases, where somebody gets a traffic ticket and they try to get out of it by saying, "Do you know who I am? This is my card." And in cases that that's true, that's a misuse of official position, because it's using your position in a way that has nothing to do with what your position is about. It's to get yourself in a better financial or legal position. And so what I'm struggling with here is that I don't know whether going and investigating a grow operation, even if it's your neighbor, I don't know whether that's, it doesn't strike me necessarily as a misuse of official position, because that is his official position. What would be a misuse would be if it got to the top of the line first, or if it got extra cops going there and checking it out. You know, things that are beyond what would normally happen, but for this person's position. And I'm not sure that I've heard anything that says that. I don't think it's enough that it happens to matter to him personally because he's a neighbor to go to the house. If he would do the same thing in his official position, whether it was, if he was a neighbor or not, he or another commissioner. If it's a potential conflict, he doesn't have to pass it off to another commissioner. That might be a best practice, but he doesn't have to. And so I'm only talking about it in place in the but for the 244.040, and I am not convinced that there's a violation of that.
Are you wanting to make an amendment to the motion?
I was going to ask that we vote on them separately, or at least pull out the 040. Because I view that as a very grave potential violation, and I just haven't heard enough. I share some of your concerns about consistency here, and I also hear a general maybe lack of clarity about whether you have to state a conflict for an action that's not a vote. I bet that's shared by a lot of officials. But with respect to the, I haven't heard that this grow operation got more attention or police activity or council activity because he has a personal interest in it.
Okay.
So my motion would be that we vote on at least the 040 separately.
Okay. Commissioner Keene, if I characterize it correctly, is moving to divide the question, where we will separately deal with the conflict of interest issue and the misuse of office issue.
Right, there's one misuse of office, then there's other conflicts.
That's right, and that's what I mean to
do. I don't object to that as the move-in.
Okay, so without objection, we will divide the question.
And we will go first, if no one objects, to the...
Or a discussion of that motion.
It's okay. We'll go to the conflict of interest question that we will now go into discussion over. Executive Director...
Could we
director,
do the...
You want to do the of office?
First,
okay.
Could I ask Ms. Keaton and Director Burson a question related to the misuse of office?
Of course. But let's establish on the record now that we're going to the misuse of office question first. We are now in discussion. Go ahead and post your questions, Commissioner Sherry.
I understand that the initial, going to the house with the card and doing the investigation, that it's Commissioner Keaton somewhat unclear about whether that's a misuse of office. But I want to clarify with Ms. Whedon and Director Burson, there seems to be a series of events throughout the month of June, months of June and July, and potentially part of August, where there's an intense amount of focus on this particular property and on these particular individuals. To the extent that copies of medical marijuana cards were obtained, it's questionable whether that was a proper use of office to ask the director Wheeldon to give them. It's questionable whether additional interactions that occurred were proper to this commissioner's scope of his duties. And so I would like to ask Director Burson or Ms. Whedon to expand on the theory behind that allegation.
Thank you. So that's going to take care of my
sure
thing here. So the difference here for me was, and the reason my signature is on this with the recommendation for that violation, is that I felt that this phone call or this email that was received for the complaint and process, I mean, we immediately got on a horse and we went over there. I mean, I think that a normal person, if I called it in to the planning department, there's got to be some kind of process in there that you're not getting some kind of immediate response. I mean, we got an immediate response to a complaint that happened, and that is a use of office because it's inside your neighborhood. If the regular process that happens inside the county is not as expedient, let's say. The other thing is that I believe emails from a commissioner to a department head carries more weight than an email from, say, an investigator inside of the county that went over and investigated this, and so those two instances of emails, I believe that went right to the head of the department. You may have to go through some channels to get there, and so that's where we talk about the use of offices. Is that he hasn't, with the 20 plus years as being a commissioner, has an innate knowledge of the processes and. But he didn't elect to use those processes other than, I mean, I understand people calling their county commissioner and saying, hey, I got a problem in the neighborhood. It's like, okay, when I get in the office tomorrow, I'll make sure that plan, that department gets your complaint. That's the safest thing. As far as the conflict of interest, where we keep discussing how to declare those. But remember, that complaint coming in did not create an emergency that you had to do something right then, and really it was the right then that kind of turned my on the use of office, that it was treated differently in that circumstance. And I understand that people do contact the commissioners to try to get a faster response, but they have to resist that, especially when it's inside their own neighborhood, and they have since at least admitted that there must be some kind of detriment to my property because you filed a federal lawsuit claiming this detriment if the process goes forward. So even at the time, if that didn't occur to them, I still think the safest, if we were given training on this, I think the safest thing we would tell any person in Mr. Lindsay's position is to go back and have that process that everybody's treated the same. And I think Mr. Montoya is right. Maybe there's some kind of potential conflict, but I've never seen this commission actually bring somebody forward that actually got a complaint and forwarded it on to the correct person inside of the administration that takes care of that. Mm-hmm. So that's where I switched mm-hmm. on it. So
could I
hope I answered your question.
Yes, and I was wondering if we could just hear from the team
sure.
if she has anything additional.
I agree with that, and in terms of the, I guess specifically with regard to the visit to the property, to expand on that a little bit more. There's certainly dispute as to what happened during the visit to the property. If you accept the complainant's, myself accepting the complainant's version of the event, the sorts of statements made by Commissioner Lindsay, I feel like the but-for requirement is met there with regard to using his position, because the nature of the statements being, according to the complainant, being sort of intimidating would certainly carry more weight coming from a county commissioner who identified himself as such, as opposed to just a random neighbor coming over there saying, you're a liar, you're tax evaders, what you're doing is illegal. Even absent accepting the complainant's version of events, just carte blanche, Commissioner Lindsay, in his own written statement, the email that he sent to Director Wielden on June 5th, recounting the event, he did indicate that he went to the property, identified himself, handed out his commissioner business card, and that he said that there were rumors floating around the neighborhood that someone was building a marijuana growth facility, and told them that he hoped it wasn't true and that zoning for the area does not allow for that. Just straight up told them that zoning doesn't allow for it. In my opinion, that statement was at the very least maybe a little hasty or overbroad, because I know from my investigation that growing medical marijuana for personal use is allowed, and it has been now allowed on the property. So I felt like even if we're taking John Lindsay's version of the event, going to the property on a Sunday, June 4th, and telling the property owners, I hope you're not growing marijuana here because the area doesn't allow for it, certainly carries more weight than it would had a neighbor done that. And had the respondents responded to Commissioner Lindsay's statements and stopped growing the marijuana because of what he said, it would have avoided the need for the lawsuit. It would have... and really all of the allegations made in the lawsuit with regard to the detriment of surrounding properties.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Commissioner King.
I just wanted to, I think we're talking at cross purposes. I think you know what I meant, Ronald. I'm not saying, my point does not rely on whether a neighbor would have the same effect. I think it's clearly true that a commissioner going to an alleged grow place is going to have much more of an effect than a neighbor. That's not what I'm saying is the defining thing. It's was that in his scope of duties? Yes, he may have gotten it on a Sunday. Like, he may have acted quicker. I am not convinced that that's a misuse of official position. It seems like it's a use of official position.
Well,
not because it's a neighbor.
Precisely what was the but-for was the fact that the manner in which the statements that were made would carry more weight coming from a commissioner rather than just the neighbor.
But they should. That's part of his... See, that's
right.
Like if he's on the dais, his words count more than somebody coming to... That's definitely true. It's just, did he not have that authority to go there? Not whether a neighbor would have had. I agree with you that a neighbor would not be as convincing as a commissioner going.
Okay. Commissioner Edwards, did you have something? Oh, yeah, yes, please.
I agree, and to me, again, it wasn't like just the visit to the property itself, but it was the nature of the statements that were made. So if you're believing the complainant's version of events, those statements, and then, like I said, even, I'm sorry, that they're quote-unquote accusing them of being liars and tax evaders, stating that what they were doing was illegal and that they quote-unquote picked the wrong neighborhood. But like I was saying, I guess even if you're not accepting that version from you, like Mr. Lindsay's statement saying that the zoning for the area doesn't allow for growing marijuana was overbroad, and because the area does allow for growing marijuana for medical use. So I thought that that is maybe like stepping beyond. I mean, it, I guess within the scope of this position, maybe he was misinformed when he was saying that, or maybe he's not making as clear of a statement here in the email as what he had really.
But you think he made that broader statement because he's a neighbor?
I think he made that statement because he didn't want the marijuana growing in his neighborhood yet.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Edwards?
I would call the question.
Okay. Question has been called. Without objection, we'll go to a vote on this item. We're only dealing with the misuse of office question. Okay. No objection to calling the question. We'll proceed to a roll call vote. Oh, Commissioner O'Day?
I just want to clarify, because we're dividing the question,
yes.
Is the motion still in the affirmative to support staff's recommendations that an aye vote would result in a finding of an allegation and a no vote would result?
Thank you.
I just want to clarify.
Yes, an aye vote would find support staff's recommendation. We find a violation. Yep. This vote dealing only with the misuse of office question.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner O'Day?
Nay.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Nay.
Commissioner Starr?
Nay.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
No.
Commissioner Keene?
No.
Commissioner Mason?
Nay.
Chair Burke?
Nay.
Motion failed 7-2.
Okay, thank you very much. That brings us to the next item, and that is the question of the two questions of conflict of interest. Commissioner Sosa.
Yeah, so I wonder if we could even take these separately. And I say that because, for me, the June 4th, I don't see how he announces that. Someone says, hey, we think there's something going on fishy over at this property. He goes over, he takes a look at it, realizes, oh, yeah, there is a problem here. Tells him, hey, I don't think this is appropriate. And now he knows. Now he knows what's going on. He knows there's an issue. He knows it's potentially illegal. He knows it's going to potentially affect the property values. And so going forward, I definitely concur with my colleagues that there could have been, as Commissioner Keene said, there could have been an email, something in the emails on June 5th and June 27th. So I think he should have announced there. For sure. But on June 4th, I see that as just an investigation.
Commissioner Sosa, I believe, is moving to divide the question.
Yes.
So the June 4th issue will be settled separately from the others.
Can I ask a question, though? Yeah. These allegations don't specifically break out, do they? Whether it was June 4th or June 5th.
That's what Ms. Beaton
said. No, I
said.
Okay. Sorry, recommended three violations of conflicts of interest for the actions taken on June 4th, June 5th, and June 27th.
Okay.
Fourth,
all right.
Fifth,
so,
27th.
Can we do June 4th as one and June 5th and 27th as the other?
Okay. The motion is to divide the question so that there will be three separate issues decided. Conflicts of interest relating to June 4th, and then separately June 5th, and then June 27th, starting with the matter of conflict of interest on June 4th.
We can do the 5th.
The 5th and the 27th together?
Yes.
Yeah. You want to do the 5th
yes.
and 27th together? Okay.
Just emails.
I'll restate then. We will divide the question. The motion is to divide the question so that we deal with the allegation related to June 4th, and then separately from that, the allegations related to June 5th and June 27th as one action item. Is that clear to everybody? Okay.
Yes.
So without objection, the question is still divided. We'll go to the issue related to allegations connected with June 4th. We can speak. We can make a motion. We can ask a question.
I would so move that we decline to follow staff recommendation in regard to the conflict of interest for June 4th.
Okay, motion is...
So in this case, a yes vote is to drop it.
Yes, that's correct. A yes vote in this case is to drop the matter with respect to the alleged conflict of interest which took place on June 4th. Everybody's clear on that? Okay, let's call the roll.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Nay.
Commissioner Sugar?
Nay.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Nay.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-3.
Okay. Now we go to the matter related to allegations of conflicts of interest on June 5 and June 27 to be acted on as one item. Is there a discussion or a motion?
Chair, I would move that we adopt staff recommendation in regard to conflict of interest violations for the June 5th and June 27th.
Okay, it is so moved. Let's begin the roll.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
I think that resolves the matter. Thank you very much, Mr. Montoya.
And thank you. Thank
Mr.
you.
Lindsay, thank you very much.
It is deceptively short. Yeah.
Okay, we've got one more push to go, I think. Maybe we can take a short break and
go and get your
I think our lunch is
yeah,
here. We can have a working lunch if nobody objects. No. We'll have a working lunch.
If we want to go get lunch and jump into executive session, we can eat and take care of those two easy matters inside there while you're eating.
Let's do that.
Are we adjourned for a little bit?
We are recessed, and we'll be back here in 7 minutes and 12 seconds.
We're back.